The populations of both Bloomington and Normal are increasing, bringing with them burgeoning residential and commercial development and a rising demand for water. In a new study called Your Water, Your Future, ISU sociologist Joan Brame found many residents are unaware that their use of lawn chemicals and wasteful water practices are also contributing to the problem. Residents say they recognize that the county will need to find additional water supplies, but Brame says just don't ask them to pay more to avoid a water crisis.
That's fairly common, if we look at national level data, that economics drive a lot of this. And people just like taxes. People don't like to pay more money. But it is something that I think we need to work on in terms of trying to increase the level of understanding for the role that water plays in our lives. It's not just something that we get out of our tap. Farmers need it to grow our food. We need it for health. Certainly the issue in Flint, Michigan has really raised the concern over water quality to a whole new level. That could happen in any place. And so investing in water and investing in maintaining it for our future needs is money well spent.
What are some of the things that come through in the survey that people are doing that are actually detrimental to our water supply?
We are over-fertilizing our lawns with phosphorus-laden fertilizers. We're not paying attention to how can we capture that water in our own landscapes, so the use of rain barrels, also the use of rain gardens. How we landscape our lawns can have an effect on the capture of that stormwater runoff. And that can be done in a way that's very visually appealing, that does not have to be terribly expensive.
The respondents said that they understood a threat to their water supply comes from farm runoff, particularly from fertilizers, herbicides, the nitrates, and the phosphates that result from that. They did not seem to have a sense of their own contribution to dangers to our water.
That's correct. And that's not surprising. Nationally, that's a very common perception. People don't necessarily think about individual lawn care as having an impact on our water. We think of, it kind of runs down the storm drain and it goes away. We don't really make that connection. And so we're not unique in that. So certainly, over application and the use of phosphorus-laden fertilizers is one of the big things. And another one is just the storm runoff that leaves our property. It runs down our driveways. It picks up all the oils and other pollutants, salts and everything else that run into the storm drains. So if we can better capture that water to let it naturally recirculate into our own lawns and into our own property, that will eliminate some of that runoff that heads to the storm drains.
A number of people said they didn't know what to do with rain barrels. They didn't know where to get them.
Actually, the interesting piece with rain barrels in particular was a majority of the population indicated that they knew what a rain barrel was. They were familiar with the practice. They had heard of it. And I attribute a lot of that to the work that the Ecology Action Center has done with their rain barrel workshops. People are familiar with it. But the actual use of a rain barrel had the third lowest actual adoption. So only 10% of respondents were actually using a rain barrel. And some of the comments on the survey led us to believe that there are some misperceptions about rain barrels in terms of mosquitoes. Do they act as a target for mosquito larvae?
What do you say to the people who say, we're afraid of attracting mosquitoes to our property? Now there's the Zika virus out there.
Rain barrels themselves actually are not necessarily a strong vector for mosquitoes. And so a lot of it is there's misinformation out there. And so I think working with the Ecology Action Center and other groups that are already doing like the rain barrel workshops, we can improve the messaging about rain barrels in terms of how they contribute to mosquitoes or not. And then also, the management of them, like how do you care for them in the winter?
One thing people also seem to understand that there's a correlation between putting your lawn clippings at the curb and other debris from your lawn at the curb. Why were they able to understand that, but not some of the other things?
Anecdotally, again, Ecology Action Center has put forth a lot of effort in the last year with a particular messaging campaign regarding leaves and lawn clippings and keeping them out of the gutters. And that campaign has been very widely utilized. And so anecdotally, to me, the data looks like that campaign is working. People have adopted that practice. The message is hitting home. The other practices have not been the focus of outreach campaigns necessarily. They've been offered, but they haven't been really widely promoted in a targeted way. And so one of the goals of our study is to use this research to help target some messaging and education and outreach campaigns that focus on the adoption of some of these best management practices more directly, like they've done with the leaf and lawn clipping campaign.
One of the things you recommend is planting native plants, plants that are native to this region that don't take as much watering.
It's somewhat of a cultural shift that is needed. Native plants are often, people associate them with weeds. I myself have a native prairie garden in my front yard, and in the first few years of putting that in, my neighbors kind of looked at me a bit oddly, and they commented on the weeds in my yard. And over the years now, they have come to realize the benefit of it, that I don't mow it, I'm not watering it, I'm not fertilizing it, and now they're coming over and they want to know what's there. What are the plants? Where did I get them? How do you plan this?
Where do you get them?
You know, a lot of the nurseries in town have really started to see the value of that. And a lot of the local nurseries are now carrying those plants. The Fell Arboretum has a plant sale every spring, and they focus on native plants. There's very low maintenance, and they can be very visually appealing. And so as people are changing their landscapes or making plans for new landscaping, we want to encourage them to consider going back to the plants that were originally here, because they're going to thrive the best, and they're the best for our ecosystem on many levels. They're best for the butterflies and the bees, as well as our water.
This whole survey is related to the fact that there has been so much development in McLean County. Thousands of acres of farmland are now developed, and that those are people needing tap water. They're people needing water for washing machines and things like that.
You know, when you look at the data, we aren't adding new farmland. We are adding new residential developments. And so if you go to the edge of town, it's very easy to see it anecdotally. You see new subdivisions kind of encroaching on the agricultural land. And we find that lawn care and residential development actually uses more water in some ways than certain kinds of agriculture. So not only do they need water for their residential uses, but you know what they do on their landscape does have a big impact.
Bloomington City Council recently took up the issue of septic tanks in these large residential homes along Lake Bloomington. Did your survey address at all the septic systems there and any dangers they might pose to Lake Bloomington?
Well, the residents of Lake Bloomington were part of the sample, and our study did not focus specifically on septics, but we did have a couple of questions that looked at septic issues. And out of all the respondents, about 45% of respondents indicated that they did have a septic system. And when asked about problems with their septic, about 87% of those with a septic system indicated that they have never experienced a problem with their system.
Did you believe that?
Not so much. It is self-reported data, so we do have to, you know, use a little bit of caution with that. The majority of respondents did indicate that they regularly service their septic system, but yet out of all the respondents, we had about 5% of respondents who said they don't even know if they have a septic system.
That's kind of scary.
That's a little unnerving. So the septic is not the focus of our study, but it does tell us that people don't necessarily see them as a problem, which may or may not be a good thing. It could be kind of out of sight, out of mind. But septics are certainly a significant vector of pollutants into waterways if they're not properly maintained. So spending a little bit of money each year to have your septic system checked and properly maintained can save you tens of thousands of dollars down the road.
What about inspections? Right now, it's up to the health department to make these inspections, and they don't really have the staff to do it very frequently.
That's a problem, and I don't see with our state budget issues, I don't see that improving anytime soon. So it really does fall to how can we better, you know, influence the local homeowner to do this on their own.
Dr. Joan Brame is a professor of sociology at Illinois State University. Her report is Your Water, Your Future. Thanks so much for talking about this.
Thank you for the opportunity.
I'm Judy Valente.